Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a podcast analytics platform that enables podcasters to see all the relevant data they need to know about their podcast's audience. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the referral code WRESTLING2XPOD. Again, the code WRESTLING2XPOD.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Veda Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to Stan, Ro, Chino, and Camos on the Wrestling Podcast.
You are watching and listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan Ciro Moran and Chino Liao reporting for duty on a Wednesday. So I know we promised at the end of the Thunder Rosa episode earlier this week, which you can catch, by the way, and download now on Spotify. Now, we would be doing a Thursday show, but as I explained in the pre-show, I signed up for a bunch of workshops, and they take place on Thursday nights for the next few weeks. So mag-adjust tayo. Not like we have anywhere else to be. So kayo, let us know which day works better for you, whether it's a Wednesday or a Thursday. So after the next 3 weeks, we'll figure it out and we'll settle on a schedule that really works well for all of us. And when we say all of us, di lang kaming tatlo, but really, literally everybody.
Right? But mostly us. Kasi
yeah, mostly us. Kasi tayo naman yung host.
Let's face it, guys. Mostly us. Like, okay, I mean, we'll consider it, but mostly us, right?
Without us, wala naman kayong show. Eh.
Yeah, exactly. let's be realistic here. Diba? Pag sinabi pa nilang Sunday, gawin natin? Of course not.
Sabihin ng mga nasa Kumu, napakayabang naman itong mga podcaster na to.
Siyempre, mayabang kami. Mayroon kami 12 viewers right now. What's up to our 12 viewers?
Oh, 15. 15 naman yung viewers natin.
Wow, well, mababagay yung internet today.
Hindi pa nakahabol.
Hindi pa nakahabol sa viewership eh.
All right, here's what's on the menu for tonight. Of course, the WWE draft and how craptastic that was. We'll talk about that. And then Eva Marie has been in the news for the last couple of days. And we've also got our quick predictions for tomorrow's AEW Dynamite anniversary show. So for all of your comments and your reactions to everything going on in the podcast, just leave it dito sa live thread natin on Facebook or on Kumu. Kind of like what Carla does. He wants a shout out right now. Carlo, you get a shout out before we start.
Oh, hey.
All right. So, yeah, start the dial. Let's get to the WWE draft. And I think yung zooming out na opinion really was na wala naman talagang nagbago, even though medyo maraming nagbago. And it's kind of like what we said last week na the idea naman talaga behind the draft is to shake the status quo. But because this is a storyline draft conducted by WWE, chances are it's morphed 2 steps forward, 1 step back. So, kayo guys, what did you think about how this draft shook out for everybody involved?
Well, the problem kasi is that the draft right now is, for some reason, a shakeup of the entire roster. Hindi siya before, hindi siya parang dati na, it's only like a handful of picks between each show. And the shows are only using it to literally shake up their rosters and not actually rebuilding them or, you know, keeping them intact. No matter what. So, as long as the format of the draft is ganito na kailangan buong rosters ang i-draft nyo and not just, you know, adding or stealing a bunch of guys from the other brand, it's always going to be like this. So, the best solution really is to go back to the previous or the shake-up format, the superstar shake-up format.
Yeah, I feel like, you know how they always say the more things change, the more they stay the same? I feel like that was the case with this week's draft, this season's draft, I should say. Let's use the word season for this one. Because it feels like they wanted to, you know, things have gotten stale, admittedly, especially during the Corona era levels of wrestling where there are no audiences and all that. We've covered that here before on the podcast. So they wanted to shake things up. But I think they did it too much, wherein it got to a point where certain moves either negated entire storylines, kind of retcon sila, to use a comic term, or just unintentionally started new storylines from out of nowhere. You saw entire Raw storylines, or people from the entire storylines on Raw get transferred over to SmackDown, diba? And the same goes for SmackDown people moving over to Raw. So essentially, you can't help but see that they're just changing the channel on us. One show is just literally moving to another network. Is that a good thing? I don't think so. I'd rather see something completely new and completely different. But I mean, we get what we get.
I think, right. I think the problem kasi is that the draft is somehow in October. Like, okay, last year it was to accommodate the move of SmackDown to Fox. But now it doesn't make sense. Remember when previous drafts would be held right after WrestleMania when the slate is blank. Now it's sort of awkward na spot niya, and they don't know how to write around it, or they don't know how to end storylines before moving on to the draft.
Yeah, especially since they're in between pay-per-views now, and those pay-per-views aren't the big four pay-per-views that we're used to getting. So when you essentially put some story-altering event like the draft in the middle of two essentially non-consequential pay-per-views like Clash of Champions and Hell in a Cell, it easily gets negated.
The problem is
what they were going for. I was just going to say na I kind of got what they were going for kasi nga, diba, they were branding yung episodes next week as the season premieres of Raw and SmackDown. So in a way, having a draft at this time of the year does make sense. In a way. Pero I also understand na it's still way better to have it at the end right after WrestleMania kasi that's really when you wipe the slate clean. So I'm with you there. Sana nangyari na lang after WrestleMania. It would have also added a little bit of excitement to the empty arena shows. Kasi at the time, diba, napaka boring talaga. We really didn't feel like there was much to look forward to. And there was really barely anything that was drumming up interest. So a draft at that time of the year really would have helped as opposed to ngayon na medyo may renewed interest na rin naman in WWE.
Alright, Gimme Buckets has joined us on Kumu again. Hey, Gimme Buckets, what's up, man? He says that the season premiere na wala namang season finale. And I have to actually touch on that because they're hyping the season premieres because they're following the U.S. system, the U.S. calendar of TV, right? But the problem is they don't actually follow that when it comes to the writing on the shows. Like, I feel like, okay, if you're going to market the season premiere, you're going to have to write storylines around the fact that there is a season finale and a season premiere. The fact that you're still treating WrestleMania as your season finale is not lining up, and it's just causing a lot of disarray and dissonance when it comes to the narrative.
Any thoughts, Chino, or do you want me to get into specific?
No, we can move on. We can move on, yeah.
Sige.
Covered most bases.
Sige. Let's get to this comment from Aaron who asks, what can you say about the tag team championships being exchanged literally between the New Day and the Street Profits? That's actually a good question because almost everybody's commenting that right now. So we're going to start with the New Day. Because the bigger issue with the New Day is how they were basically split up via the draft with barely any logic. And again, I'm going to take yung devil's advocate point of view na I get what they're trying to go for because the end game is to establish Big E as a single star. But when you have the New Day, whose story as a trio has lasted over 6 years, parang napaka walang justice at napaka empty nung separation nila. Parang, okay, dinraft ko nga pala sina Kofi and Xavier to Raw, Big E, bahala ka na, and SmackDown gets to pick you up. Where's the logic there? When some teams were drafted together, like the Hurt Business, all four of them were drafted all at the same time. And then you have acts like the New Day or the Lucha House Party that only two were selected by Raw. So what happened to the other guy? That's very questionable.
Go ahead.
All right. No, I just wanted to say that I wish there was something, you know, like a presence from both brands, from, I don't know, both TV networks, trying to present an internal logic to the draft. Like, okay, like here is the brain trust for Raw. Here is the brain trust for SmackDown. I wish somebody was here to explain why they were making certain moves. And then I wish Stephanie explained why all of a sudden the New Day can be split up. I just didn't like the fact that they just allowed it to happen without any explanation. Because for sure, they know that the audience will be wondering why it's like this. So talagang you're not doing us a favor. You're insulting our intelligence by doing this way.
So did you want to see Kletos the football robot again? Is that what you're saying?
Hindi naman. No, I just said someone, a representative from, from both brands, you know, making, you know, building or establishing the internal logic. Kasi that's all we're looking for, really.
Sayang wala nang suits eh. Like a Harvey Specter cameo would have made so much sense. Like, siya yung arbiter ng Monday Night Raw. Like, alongside
I just really wish that there was a GM figure again. I mean, I get that we have Adam Pearce for both shows, pero having a separate GM for each show automatically gives you the plot device to explain yung internal logic na hinahanap ni Ro.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
I feel like doing this to the New Day kind of it negates the 6 years that they've put in as a stable and as an institution. Like, when the Shield broke up, that was a big deal, right? It was a big deal all around the wrestling, even if we think the story has been overdone again and again and again. It was still a big deal when it happened, right? And they haven't been together as long as the New Day have, diba? So for somebody more established like the New Day who have crossed over to other media, it's kind of sad that they did them dirty like this. Like I didn't want to see Big E turn heel. I'm not saying that. I just wanted it to be a little bit more significant.
Yeah, I think that's not that's not an unfair ask naman, eh, diba? You want to make it mean something. And if you're looking at writing stories for wrestling, the reason you put a team together or a trio or a faction is to eventually split them up, right?
Oh.
You
build a group. That's so sad.
No, but that's, you know, talaga yung end game, diba? Like, Evolution was built so that Batista and Randy Orton could eventually splinter from that and be the single stars they were meant to be. Just to give you an example, diba? The Shield was also put together to give these guys a platform to learn and earn their stripes and eventually become the world champions they were meant to be. Nation of Domination. And then, yeah, same principle. Like, that's the purpose of a team in wrestling. So if that's the end game, and that's always been the purpose since time immemorial, why couldn't they give it some logic? Yun lang naman hinihingi natin eh, di ba?
I mean, if the whole point, like, okay, if the end game was to turn Big E heel or something, sana may something na, okay, I actually requested that, you know, I be drafted separately or something like that. Anything, even a little morsel of logic would have done a lot to explain all of this.
Yeah. So yun, really disappointing. And, well, it led us to Raw, where the Street Profits were one of the first picks of SmackDown, which, you know, logically, tama nga naman because they lost their tag team champions, so they get the Raw tag team champions in the Street Profits. And then there's that backstage segment where Adam Pearce negotiates that they just both hand over their respective titles to the other team. So what do you guys think about that? Because I'm seeing the violent reactions in our comment section, and I gotta say, I'm not too opposed to what they did because, well, you know, nag-switch places nga lang naman sila and they're still champions. Di naman sila natalo to anybody, so why not?
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that because given this platter of crap that we've been served, this makes the most sense to me right now. The only other option would have been to have another brand's team on another show, and that would have made no sense at all because how are they going to defend the belts on that show, diba? Like if the Street Profits remain Raw champions on SmackDown, ano yun? Walang point yun. Diba? They can't keep that gimmick up for very long. Right, so even if it's a little bit on the nose, as people might object to, right? It's the only way you can resolve this plot hole.
Oh, I have two problems with it, but none of them are the fact that this was the switch or this was how they switched the championships. The first problem is, why would you leave the brand exclusive champions open to be drafted by the other brand? Okay, then you get past that. Sige. That already happened. Wala tayong magagawa dun. The second problem is, why did Raw not draft their own Raw Tag Team Championships before SmackDown could do that? If I were the Raw general manager, I would have kept both sets of tag team championships on my show and, you know, have them draw all the money for the tag team division. I mean, yes, it's counterproductive because it kind of dilutes your tag team division that's already thin, but I would be swapping that way. But anyway, going back to the original question, no, I don't really have a problem with it switching that way. Worse things have happened. Stranger things have happened. And I guess that it was the most painless way to do it.
Yeah, you want to talk about the worst things that have happened. How about Retribution getting drafted by Raw, the show they've been actively terrorizing for weeks?
isa pa tong internal logic miss eh. Kasi if there was a general manager figure to explain all the draft picks, maybe they could have said something that, okay, we're drafting Retribution to Raw because we have the guys that can take them out. But we're drafting them so that official yung pagka laban namin sa kanila. But no, since there aren't any, it's just another illogical or, you know, dumb-looking move on their end, on their part.
Yeah, Chino, ikaw, what do you think about Retribution getting drafted here?
I think it's the least of our problems at this point, honestly. I mean, first of all, they also draft the Brazilian dude. What's his face?
Arturo Ruas
and Dabacato back to Raw. So basically, they got a promotion, right? They got promoted from Raw Underground to actual Raw. Good for them. Well, I feel like you can explain Retribution getting drafted by the show that they were terrorizing in the first place. That they can probably take it from an angle of saying that they want to minimize damage and keep these terrorists in the brand where they can control them or some BS like that. I think it's not the biggest problem we've encountered here with this whole draft situation.
Hang on, no one's there to explain that.
Well, yeah, no one's there to explain it. Now, yeah, sure.
It's such a dumb storyline move that the members of Retribution themselves are clowning it on social media. Mustafa Ali quote tweeted yung graphic of them getting drafted and said, "Why invite misery to your doorstep?" or something along those lines. Mace was also clowning it on social media. So when your own talent is taking a big dump on the illogical story, you know that there's really something wrong here.
I feel like our bigger problem is, why is Mustafa Ali still Mustafa Ali? When are they going to call him something else?
Like an edgy name?
No, Brass Knuckles.
LED light.
We have more thoughts on the WWE draft, and we're going to get to them in a bit. For now, though, we'll take a quick break and hear from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Hi, ako si Nonong Balinay.
Ako si JB Labrador.
At ako naman si James Caran.
And welcome to the Cool Podcast!
Kuya ka lang! Ano ka ba? Hindi natin show to.
Huh?
Ini-invite lang natin sila.
Yun naman pala, ang show na ito ay para sa mga cool pals na hindi cool pals.
Pwede na rin kaming pakinggan sa aming podcast sa Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, at iba pang platforms.
At kung pinagtawanan mo si James dahil mali ang pronunciation niya, kupal ka!
Alright, let's get to some thoughts from the listeners and viewers over at Kumu. Dami tayong feelings about the draft, so tara, let's unpack them.
Alright, a lot of guys here are letting their thoughts be known. One of them is, of course, Mr. Gimme Buckets. Sabi niya, it sucks that we missed the New Day split storyline. And he also says tag teams are formed to be broken. Yes, it might be an unfortunate truth. In wrestling. Also, may mga bago tayong followers. Judy Carl just followed us and says, Sasha Banks, di ba? Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks, and Bayley's the enemy now. I think he likes Sasha Banks, guys.
Feeling good in.
I think he likes Sasha Banks now. And then, yeah, Team Raw, Kelly Kelly is farewell? Okay, yeah, sure. I don't know what you mean by Kelly Kelly is farewell, but okay. Also, thank you to KoiJ22 for the follow. And Stan May, nagpapa-shoutout dito. Papa G-Sauce.
Oy, Papa G-Sauce, what's up, man?
Yeah, nagpapa-shout. Also, I'm gonna be with you. It's now following us on Kumu. Thank you for the follow. Oh, Kapo the Guy just sent us a bunch of follow.
Hey! Thank you.
Hello,
Kapo the Guy. Yan yung gusto natin. Alright.
Yan ang pinaka-excite tayo dito. Thank you for all the guys joining us on. Yan, Kapo the Guy sent us a kilig as well.
Yun.
Kinilig ako doon. Oh, ito,
oh. Oy, thank you.
Si Mike Boss Yap, Mike Yap. Yun.
Oh, Boss Mike Yap may palechon. Nico Gomez.
What's up, Mike Yap?
Nico Gomez with the Carlito clap. Another Carlito clap. Take care of Nico Gomez. Thank you guys so much for all your gifts here on Kumu. Sabi Capo the guy, big wrestling fan here, by G's.
Thank you. Welcome to the stream.
Welcome to the stream. Thanks for joining us on Kumu.
Yeah, you know, we try to make this a weekly habit here on Kumu and on the Facebook page. So please follow us and just keep joining us whenever we go live on Wednesdays or Thursdays. All right, any other comments, Ro, from the people at Kumu before we get to...
No. Itong si Maro, our friend Maro, he said that it would be brilliant if they turn Mustafa Ali into a proper retelling of Muhammad Hassan, which would be the ultimate retribution, I think. Sana, but I don't think they are smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
I mean, the fact that they didn't explain why they did all this in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, Retribution wasn't even there on Raw.
Yeah.
Mustafa Ali turned last week. You would expect a follow-up. Tapos
wala man lang promo. I was expecting a promo time for Mustafa Ali, but of course he has to stick to his social media accounts to explain everything.
It's a season premiere daw.
So dumb. All right, let's get to another thing that's pretty dumb, and that is WWE putting Lars Sullivan in a very prominent spot upon his return, especially since it's not like he had a good look on him already when he got injured, and then now na bumalik siya, the yoga instructor that he used to work with went on Reddit and said na Lars Sullivan had been making inappropriate advances and comments towards her. This is a very bad look altogether.
Yeah, what is up, Lars? Come on, man. What's going on? But it's on the company to decide what to do with him. Apparently, as of today's rumor mill, Vince McMahon is also another big supporter of Lars. So that may mean that he gets to keep his spot. We'll see na lang if may something na gagawin sa kanya.
Chino, any thoughts on Lars?
He's not a good guy. I mean, what else can you say? What else can you say about the situation?
I don't want him on TV, man. I don't want him there.
I don't want him on TV either. But when you said Vince is a big fan of him, we all know where this is going. But again, we can take refuge in the fact that Vince might have late onset ADD and he just loses interest in guys so quickly. So we can hope that Lars Sullivan becomes one of those passing fancies, because we've had enough of this dude, man. I shouldn't have even brought him back. The fact that he's here again, it's a bad taste, bad look for them.
Shout out to Tito E over on the comment section who says, nah, it was probably the yoga instructor's husband who went to Reddit, just to clarify. All right, appreciate it. Okay, other things that happened on the draft. You had an entire angle switch brands, which also boggles me. So the Mysterios get drafted together to SmackDown. So does Rollins and so does Murphy. So walang nagbago. Naglipat lang sila ng show. Yun lang.
Yeah, apparently SmackDown really, really thought that their angle was exciting and they wanted to bring all of them over to Fox. So yun yung internal logic na nakukuha ko from that. It looked good at first when Rollins was their early pick last Friday. But yeah, syempre, it had to turn out that they were really moving the entire angle over. So expect more of this to continue. Syempre, kasi hindi pa naman siya tapos. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hopeful for Seth when he moved, because I thought that he was actually going to have a change in his trajectory. But then when the Mysterio family followed, they might as well change Seth Rollins' last name to Mysterio at this point. He's been doing this thing for 6 months. I don't know why they still keep doing this. Maybe SmackDown changes things up enough for it to be interesting again. But I doubt that.
May hypothesis ako for this. Bakit 6 months yung duration ng storyline na to? Kung sino man yung susulat, kinokontrol siya ng GM mode ng SmackDown versus Raw. 6 months yung angle dun sa game eh.
Yeah,
six months talaga kailangan tapusin niya. So nandito na tayo. Alright, other things that happened on the draft that really bothered us. We alluded earlier to Daba Kato and Arturo Ruas getting drafted and Andrade getting undrafted, which is really weird. Abby is asking in the comment section, what is Andrade's future? Alam mo,
I feel like he's going back to NXT.
According to the rumors that I wrote today, the plan for the superstars that have gone undrafted is that they're staying on Raw. A lot of them are going on Raw. Like the Lucha House Party went on Raw. They weren't drafted on the main TV show. So
weren't they also broken up?
they were broken up the same way the New Day was. There wasn't an on-screen split. There were only a tease. There was only teasing of dissension when Kalisto and Lince Dorado weren't getting along. But they never got broken up in a segment or a match or whatever have you. They were just quietly split up when Kalisto was drafted to SmackDown, and apparently Lince and Gran Metalik were drafted to Raw.
To Raw.
Yeah, it's really, really unclear, diba? Di ko talaga gets yung logic. Charlotte Flair, for one, who's been injured, hasn't been on TV for months, gets drafted. As opposed to Becky Lynch, who's on maternity leave and doesn't get drafted. See, Daniel Bryan, ganun din. We haven't seen him on TV because of paternity leave naman. And he also gets drafted. So there's a lot of logic talaga na kailangang linisin or kailangang klaruhin. And, you know, we've been beating a dead horse. We just really don't understand why a lot of this is going on. For the second straight year, wala ulit yung NXT. They're not involved. Yeah. Siguro yung extent na of their involvement is Arturo Ruas and Dabba Kato. That's really it. And I find it unfortunate.
Dabba Kato hasn't even been on NXT. So you can't really
say it. Actually, yeah. You're right. You're right, Chino.
He got sent straight to Underground.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed because last year lang, they were really pushing NXT to be the third brand na equal, if not better than Raw or SmackDown because they dominated at Survivor Series. And then on your very next draft, it's like they're a non-entity or exist in their own little bubble universe. What's up with that?
NXT bubble.
I feel like I have an answer for the first part of your query. The fact that people, big names even, like Charlotte Flair and Daniel Bryan have been drafted or announced might have something to do with the WWE's plan to start moving back out of the Thunderdome and doing shows around packed arenas audience arenas. Vince McMahon really wants to get people back into stadiums, even if COVID is still a thing. It's unwise, yes, but if he puts out enough big names out there to put on the marquee of these stadiums, who's to say that wouldn't work, diba? I feel like that has something to do with why an injured Charlotte and an absent Daniel Bryan have been announced. We haven't seen them on TV in many months. Is that the safest way to go about things? No, of course not. We're still in quarantine. We've done all these things before. But I feel like that's why they're doing it.
Conrad in the comment section is saying that SmackDown ended up with too many heels. I kind of agree. Parang ang babyface ng talaga na dagdag sa SmackDown were Kevin Owens and the Mysterios.
Apollo Crews.
Oh, yeah. Apollo Crews. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, too many heels went to SmackDown, and they had too many heels na to begin with. So in a way, they never really addressed yung needs nila dating back to last week when we evaluated what each brand really needed. Diba? So let's zoom out here. And like a proper sports radio show, let's ask and answer this question. Who won the draft?
Okay, it's a trick question kasi the draft is set up always, especially when Raw went to 3 hours. It's always been set up for Raw to win kasi they get 3 picks for every SmackDowns too. So they naturally, they get more superstars than SmackDown ever will. That's the problem here. So Raw, by default, won the draft.
Then again, there's a different angle na even though Raw won in terms of quantity, yung quality pa rin, di ba? Kasi, what are our expectations of draft picks like Titus O'Neil or Arturo Ruas or Dabba Kato as opposed naman to SmackDown na, kakaunti lang yung picks nila, but ideally, these are picks that would matter, like a Seth Rollins or a Rey and Dominic Mysterio or an Apollo Crews.
I can see the brighter side of things for SmackDown because while you did transfer Seth and the Mysterio storyline to SmackDown, you also might have the possibility of a Seth Roman feud down the ways. You also transferred the Kevin Owens Aleister Black story to SmackDown, sure, but you also have the opportunity to do a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn feud for the title a little further down. So there's a lot of potential there as far as recurring classic feuds are concerned. So I feel like SmackDown might be able to edge some sort of moral high ground here, if you will.
I will also say that when it comes to the women, SmackDown barely got the better deal here. They have Bayley and Sasha. They have Bianca Belair, which is always great. sino pa ba? Who else do we have here?
They got Billy Kay.
Billy Kay. Pero I think out of the women who were drafted, when it comes to quality, the few that SmackDown got is still better than the many that Raw has, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so as well. You know, if quality over quantity, yeah. Basehan dito, diba? I think just to wrap it up here on the WWE draft, if the question is who won the draft, clearly we, the fans, lost.
Sabi ka lang, sabi mo, Evolve won eh.
No, wala na Evolve, no, ba?
No, clearly we lost here. Yeah. Okay, any shout-outs over on Kumu?
We have a bunch of shout-outs coming to us from Kumu. That Jimmy Buckets is being very vocal of Kumu right now. Galing. Sabi niya, the most refreshed Rollins has looked since forever is the triple threat match. Tapos drafted lang sila sa SmackDown, GG Dominic. And he also says, Dabba Kato drafted from the underground. Drew doesn't have a next challenger after Orton, so I think Raw lost this one. Or maybe AJ. AJ Styles went to Raw, so we'll see if that happens.
I see AJ and Sheamus, so meron pang konti dyan to get them through a few more months, I think.
Right. Okay.
AJ, Sheamus, run.
Sabi ni Capo the guy, you guys think the deletion arc was nice though? I think they should bring it back. Medyo left field your question, yeah. But we'll answer it because he sent us two Robinson's baskets. Thank you for
this. Hey, thank you.
Capo the guy. Sana mabery. Kalokohan naman kasi yun. I think Jimmy Buckets was referring to the Lars. Yeah, the Lars Sullivan lines. And yes, Capo the guy has a bunch of questions for us which we'll answer towards the end of the pod, maybe. So, sige, John, thank you, John. Welcome, vowel sa pangalan mo, sir. JHNDNVRPNS is now following us. Thank you. Lagi ka naman ng vowels, walang bayad yan. Ako si Deb Deb, also following us on Kumu.
Hey, hello.
Also, saying what's up to all the new people joining us today. Hello to the users. Hello, Sean. Hello, Jason Tan. Hello, Ate Bell. Thank you for joining us tonight on Kumu.
Thank you. All right. Sabi ni Kevin in the comment section, The Fiend is one of the better picks from the draft this year. And I don't really agree or disagree with that. But I could actually see The Fiend going after the WWE Championship if Drew's still champion, like later down the road.
Yeah, I also see that. Yeah,
but he got moved away from the Roman Reigns story. So they planted the seed na he was still going to go after Roman. Apparently, hindi na because he's now on Raw. But right now, The Fiend is still in this little story with Alexa and whoever they're effing with. So there's that. Jacob in the comment section is saying that after almost 5 years of being the face of Raw, Rollins going to SmackDown should have felt bigger. And I agree. Parang, okay, na-draft si Seth, he's going to SmackDown. Ho-hum, diba? They could have had more fanfare with that. So, yun, sayang din yun.
Sabi ni Conrad, the SmackDown tag team division needs to step up and make the tag title stand out. All right, that's where SmackDown lost because they did not draft any tag teams other than the Street Profits.
Yeah, and they lost Heavy Machinery. They lost Miz and Morrison. They lost The New Day. And the House Party.
Yeah, House Party. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an idea.
They still have Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So they did not address that need.
Here's an idea. Don't split up your effing tag teams. How about that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, Ziggler and Rude, but we're on SmackDown now.
That's right.
That's pretty much it.
Thanks for identifying them. Okay, now that we've wrapped up yung WWE draft portion of the podcast, let's talk about Eva Marie for a quick bit because rumors are abound over the last couple of days na she's been spotted sa Amway Center, aka the Thunderdome, and she's also dropped hints that she's got unfinished business in WWE. So do we want Eva Marie back?
I think at this point it's more than confirmed because the latest reports, these are saying that she's undergone testing.
Yeah,
required medical testing necessary to enter the Thunderdome. So, if I'm not mistaken, that's like a step before actually entering the Thunderdome, right? So, if that's the case, do we want her back? I don't know.
I have no feelings about it.
Yeah, I am apoplectic. But does it matter? Of course not.
It's not like they're gonna push her. Like at this point, they're not gonna push her like that.
So, I don't even think there's room for her.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think she's going to be a wrestler, actually. Maybe she's going to be like a manager or something, or valet, some storyline device, plot device. I don't know.
Sana gawin nila nila siyang GM. Si Adam Pearson sa SmackDown, si Eva Marie Saro. Yun na.
So, what does Eva Marie know about GMing?
I don't know. What did Mike Adam Lee know about GMing?
Yes, exactly. I mean, to be fair, wala namang resumes na maganda mga GM, right?
So, bagay, Tiffany was also a GM.
Yes, exactly.
The former Mrs. Drew McIntyre.
That's right. Abby in the comments is asking, why keep hiring people when you can barely use what you already have now in the proper way? Same question.
I have an answer to that because if you watch Raw and SmackDown week in and week out, you will immediately see it's going to be really obvious that if you don't have enough people, you're going to keep using the same guys every week. So to me, adding people is important. A deep roster means you can rotate, you can make actual rotations in your lineup. So okay lang.
Actually, yeah, Dynamite is a good example of that. Dynamite has a very deep roster, and one of the reasons why their matchups don't feel stale week after week is because they have that rotation, diba? Lucha Underground is also like that. They had a very deep roster and only a 1-hour show. Yeah, so mas lalong na emphasize yung depth nung ano nila, nung roster nila. Kasi you'd see Ricochet 1 week and then 2 weeks mawawala siya. So pagbalik ulit ni Ricochet, it's a big deal, diba? So you have that.
Yeah, let's go even deeper. Let's go down to Dark. With all the jobbers they have on Dark, let's call them what it is. All the guys that they have, the freelance agents, fine, that they have on Dark, independent contractors they have on Dark, at the very least, you don't need to bury your established guys, diba? You don't need to, other than Peter Avalon and Brandon Cutler, who've signed up to basically be enhancement talent, you don't
need... Si Michael Nakazawa.
Diba? You don't need to bury more than those guys, diba? You can build the resumes off of these relative unknowns, while at the same time still keeping your records pretty fresh. So that's one good way to look at it.
Say what's up to Jenny in the comment section. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hello.
Jackie adds, they wouldn't need to keep adding people in WWE if Black Wednesday did not happen. Also true.
Yes. Pero you also have to know that around that time, they weren't really using the people that they got.
Yeah.
Except for the bigger names like Rusev.
I mean, it's not like Brian Myers was going to go on a championship run.
Well, he did with Zack Ryder.
He did last year. Yeah, with Zack Ryder. And WrestleMania.
Yeah, okay. Sure. I guess.
Conrad's asking, when will The Fiend win the WWE title? Your thoughts?
At this point, sana hindi na. I'm okay. I was actually okay with the Kevin Owens mini feud. That was actually pretty fun. They had a good match on SmackDown last week. The story with Alexa is intriguing to me. I actually want him to be more involved with this. The whole problem with The Fiend losing to Goldberg earlier this year was because he eventually dabbled in the WWE Universal Championship scene, which wasn't supposed to be the case. Because what does a Fiend care about championships?
Exactly. Yeah. Diba? Demonyo eh. Gusto mo lang mag-corrupt ng tao, diba? So why do you want the championship? I get na for, you know, a mortal human being, yung purpose ng championship is it signifies status and money and a place on the card. Pero when you're literally a demonic figure, aanhin mo yun.
Oh.
I feel like this is where they're going with this, though. Like, the end game of this whole Fiend Alexa storyline might be directed towards Drew McIntyre. Because like Jimmy Bucket said on our Kumu feed, wala pang distinct opponents Drew after Orton. Diba? Assuming that run lasts another few months, The Fiend makes the most sense for me in this situation. I don't see AJ stepping up that much. I don't see anybody else really being able to get up to the level of the championship title.
I think that's the fault of the writing because they were so dependent on Drew and Orton to the point that they extended the storyline to a dragging pace. Dragging na siya. I'm not enjoying the Drew and Orton storyline anymore. And I think we talked about this in a private chat natin. They didn't need to extend to Hell in a Cell because now there are 3 Hell in a Cell matches. You've got Drew and Orton, Sasha and Bayley, which is earned, and Roman and Jay, which is also earned. So you have 3 now. Nakapagod yun in one night, dude. 3 Hell in a Cell matches.
Saka na natin pag-usapan yan when it's almost time for Hell in a Cell next
year. Baka kailangan nila sulitin yung bayad ng Hell in a Cell.
No, but as I said earlier, I think Raw actually won that part of the draft. They did what they had to and drafted potential new challengers for Drew in Sheamus, AJ, Braun, The Fiend, maybe even Jeff Hardy if they really wanted to go that far. They brought over a bunch of upper mid-card guys that they can build whenever they want to. So kudos to them for that. It's just gonna take time to build.
Any other thoughts on WWE right now before we get to AEW? You guys want to talk about the Heritage Cup?
Oh, no. It's still ongoing. I mean, like...
We're only in the first round.
Yeah, it's only been two matches into the first round. So I'll chime in on it when it gets more clearer.
All right. So yeah, we'll talk about AEW then because the anniversary show is happening tomorrow, Manila time. If you're listening to the audio-only version, it probably happened already. So sorry. We'll get to our quick predictions in a bit. For now, though, we'll take a quick break and hear from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Hi, this is Aaron Cristobal inviting you to listen to Tawa Let's, the podcast that takes you through Philippine comedy through the eyes of different writers and performers. You'll be hearing from many people who create comedy content to see what it's like whether they're just starting out or have been doing it for many years. Kaya Tawa Let's!
All right, let's jump ship now and talk about AEW Dynamite, which is celebrating its first anniversary tomorrow, Manila time. And I'm really happy for AEW that they've made it this far. 1 year of running a program of your own, that is no joke. Add to that the fact that they've been running yung mga big shows nila and they have shows like Being the Elite and AEW Dark. Really, it's definitely worth celebrating. So as a fan of wrestling, I'm happy that AEW survived 1 year and that they're probably in a position to keep surviving for the next few. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's been rough, it's been slow, but that's the growing pains of a new TV show, especially when you got a bunch of young guys who haven't had this much TV exposure before. But I'm really amazed and impressed that they have given us a lot of great TV moments in just 1 year. So
yeah,
it goes to show that they've really been busting their butts in providing a good alternative or good competition to the WWE. And kudos to Tony Khan and the crew for 1 year and counting.
Ito na lang, let's identify some of the really big things they've done in just 1 year. They turned Orange Cassidy into a star, number one.
They turned Darby Allin into a star.
Yeah, Darby Allin as well.
Number two, yeah. They introduced us to all these faces like MJF,
Jungle Boy.
Thank you. Luchasaurus, Best Friends, if you're not familiar with Best Friends yet. The Proud and the Powerful, diba? They made a star out of Sammy Guevara.
Diba? Yeah. The Dark Order.
And
Brody Lee, they
realized his career, diba?
Nyla Rose, who is the first ever transgendered champion.
Yeah, that's true. Diba? Oh, tama.
Sobrang dami highlights. Chris Jericho, even. Na-reviving career niya at this point in his run.
Tapos, if it matters to you, they got their first ever 5-star rating from Meltzer.
From the parking lot fight,
yes.
Exactly. So sobrang dami nilang na-achieve in the span of 1 year. So if that's the baseline, right, then imagine what more they can achieve going forward. So to celebrate their first anniversary, Dynamite is having an anniversary show tomorrow. And there are four big matches kasi these are their championship matches. So zooming out muna, the question is, will all the titles be retained? Kasi anniversary show siya, it's not like All Out or Double or Nothing or whatever. But I'm looking at the card right now, and I think that at least one of these championships will change hands. And my bold prediction is that Jon Moxley is dropping the world title.
That's also what I thought because with all of these championship matches, parang the feeling is they can't just be all retentions, right? And if something were to change, it has to be Moxley. Right. I think it's time. I think it's time for him to pass the torch, if you will, make a new star. I do think that Dynamite needs a top heel to reign at the top of the card. And Lance Archer is as good as any.
Does it matter, though, that they're doing it on TV instead of pay-per-view?
No, not really. Sila naman may gusto ng pay-per-view calendar nila na hindi every month. So, I mean, might as well go for it.
Plus, it makes your shows really important. Kasi if all the big moments and title changes only happen on pay-per-views, then it dilutes the importance of the regular episodes. Having a moment like this, like, shit, natalo si Jon Moxley on Dynamite, it's a must-watch moment. Diba? So I think it's a good idea if this status quo gets rocked on the Dynamite show. Plus, it actually feels like the season premiere slash season finale moment na hinahanap natin from WWE.
Right. Exactly. That's actually, yeah, they should actually do that now out of spite, really.
So there, that's the prediction for Jon Moxley versus Lance Archer for the AEW World Championship. I think we're all sweeping this na Archer wins. For the tag team championship, you have best friends, Trent and Chuck, challenging FTR. Ito, feeling ko FTR pa rin.
They're doing this under the rules, diba yung brush with greatness.
Brush with greatness, that's right.
Brush with greatness rules, yeah. To me, I think they're still building up toward FTR versus Young Bucks, which doesn't make sense because Young Bucks are heel now,
yeah,
which they were not before they challenged FTR. So, Awan, the chase will be strong for the best friends. So, FTR will retain.
FTR will retain.
Admin Angela says, hindi siya rules yung brush with greatness. It's just the gimmick. So,
60 minutes. It really...
No, it's a 20-minute time limit,
diba? Diba 20-minute time limit?
Yeah, you're right. Tama. 20-minute time limit.
Yeah, that is the rule for Brush with Greatness.
Yeah, you only have 20 minutes to win the match, basically.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, the TNT Championship will be defended by Cody against Orange Cassidy. Okay, after having won the TNT title back, what are the odds that Cody will drop it to Orange Cassidy?
I want Orange Cassidy to win. Even if the chances of this happening are so much less than Moxley retaining, but I want Orange Cassidy to win. Number one, it legitimizes him as a superstar, pardon the term. Number two, it also portrays Cody to be not as selfish as people think he is. But that's their main gripe with Cody was that he didn't need the belt right away. He could have kept it on Brody Lee. Granted, nangyari na yan, we can't really do anything about that. But if Cody is really serious about giving guys like Orange Cassidy a shot, a real shot at stardom, he's going to give him the belt. Now, is it going to happen? Only the bookers can tell.
Really quick, people are saying that the tag title match isn't Brush with Greatness. All right, yeah, I looked it up as well. Nisha said having Brush with Greatness match. Okay. So predictions stay the same. Anyway, as for TNT Championship, I want to say that Cody drops it, but he's in the middle of this renaissance that he's booking for himself. So no, why cost Brody Lee the championship to drop it to Orange Cassidy later, other than the fact that you don't want Brody Lee to be destroyed by Orange Cassidy? It's not going to happen. Sorry,
I was actually going to ask if it. I was going to ask if it's logical for Orange Cassidy to even want to win a championship because wala siyang pake. Like, why would he care about a championship if he doesn't give a crap about anything else?
No, he came out. He came out to answer the call of last week when Cody asked when Cody was asked Cena and Challenger. So he does care, apparently.
After his feud with Jericho, we know that he cares about things. He just doesn't
to a certain extent.
Diba? To a certain extent, may pakialam siya. He doesn't do a great job of showing it, but he does care.
He is a after-school special waiting to happen.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Let's talk about the women now because the women's championship is also on the line. Hikaru Shida defends against Big Swole. Ito ho-hum lang to sa akin because I don't think Big Swole is that boss who will eventually unseat Shida.
I actually want it to happen because nothing is going on with Shida right now. Like, oh, she just got through our guest Thunder Rosa a few weeks back. But right now, they don't have her penciled into anything. Like, not even with the big women's story is, to me, Brandi Rhodes and Anna Jay, right? Britt Baker doesn't have a story to be anchored in. So I'd rather Big Swole won so that, you know, something could happen to them, to the women, and the championship.
Are they not building towards Britt Baker anymore?
They are, pero they haven't locked her down in a story with Shida.
Okay, I still think Shida retains, though.
Yeah, I think so too. I just would like to see Swole win.
Yeah, I think as far as long term booking is concerned for AEW, they are still going to be barreling towards Shida versus Britt Baker. All right, Stan is encountering some technical difficulties on his end.
Yeah, am I coming clear right now?
Yeah, there you go.
There we go, yeah.
All right, there. Yeah, I kind of want Britt Baker to be that boss that defeats Shida, actually. Pero hindi ko rin alam, parang nababagalan na ako ulit dun sa progression ng story ni Dr. Britt. It's kind of weird. Like, I would have expected more since kababalik lang niya.
The problem pa rin with Dynamite is that the women only get one segment every episode. Like, oh, hey, come on, guys. You give a lot of people time on Dark. There's no reason you can't cut one segment of the guys on Dynamite, move it to Dark, and give one segment to the women every week.
Yeah, so there. Those are our thoughts on the AEW Dynamite anniversary show happening in a few hours. Admin Angela says congrats to us for our milestone last Sunday. Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody who helped us get to that point. So nung Sunday, nalaman namin na the Wrestling Podcast is number one on Apple Podcasts among the wrestling shows here in the Philippines. So we really appreciate that because it's been a while since we got to that spot.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. We beat such luminaries as JR and Talk is Jericho and pretty much everything, every other wrestling podcast that you know of.
Sabi nga ni Makoy Pare, by hina. Mahina lang natalo natin. Walang bearing.
thank you for getting us to that spot just for that day or for a couple of days.
Thanks for helping us get over.
We're going to try to keep our to keep that spot as much as we can.
Yeah, that's why Dave, hit us up, Dave. Where are you at, Dave? Hit us up.
So here's how you can help us. You can help us by letting us know which guests you want us to feature on the podcast. Plus points man kapag if you guys know who that guest is and like you have their contact details, you want to send them our way, malaking tulong yun sa amin. Or you can actually help us out as well by downloading ShopBack, because ShopBack is one of the brands that's helping keep the lights on here on the Wrestling Podcast. So if you want to do your shopping with us and with ShopBack, just visit this link. It is app.shopback.com/wrestlingpodcast. Again, that is app.shopback.com/wrestlingpodcast. Each download of the app using our link, my commission coming out of that. And again, keeps the lights on and helps us get over with our friends here at Podcast Network Asia.
Right. ShopBack, it's also a great app. Let me just put the app over. It's a great app because you just don't get discounts and rebates from things like Lazada and other online retailers. You also get it for food, for groceries, if you use the ShopBack app. So it's not just restricted to online shopping. You can use it for literally almost everything. So please log on to that site. That's app.shopback.com/wrestlingpodcast to help us out.
All right. Before we get out of here, we've got our picks of the week. And if you're new to this part of the podcast, this is that one segment or match or show or podcast or a documentary or video that you want to recommend to someone who just doesn't have enough time. So who wants to start?
And then let's start first with our shoe-in pick of the week. Ricochet, as you can see on Stan's background, Ricochet pulled an Eddie a few days after Eddie's birthday. So that is automatically a pick of the week.
For sure.
For us. Yes. For sure.
I'm also wearing my Eddie shirt to celebrate that.
Yes. Happy birthday, Eddie. Orale.
Happy birthday, Eddie.
While I'm already speaking, I might as well give you my pick of the week. It is from yesterday's G1 Climax Day, Block A Day. Okada versus Ishii, in which Okada wins with the money clip submission. I know a lot of people are bagging on this submission move. It looks awkward. I know it's not the Rainmaker. It's not as hyped as the Rainmaker, but I respect it for, you know, this is a guy who is trying to bring a new edge to his game, you know, for a game that everyone's known for years now. So I respect the fact that he is trying to add new tricks to his bag. But also an honorable mention for those watching the Ring of Honor Pure Championship Tournament. This week's episode has a really good Gresham versus Matt Sydal. Really good stuff. Go watch it. You won't regret it at all.
Chino?
All right. Okay. My pick of the week goes out to last week's NXT. Kasi kinuha ni Stan yung original pick ko. So I have to resort to last week's NXT. That one goes out to Kushida versus Tommaso Ciampa. It's unfortunate it ended up in a DQ. I wanted it to go. It was so good. It was such a great way to start off an NXT show, regardless of whether it becomes a pay-per-view, a takeover, or just a regular TV show, because it's two high-caliber athletes correct me if I'm wrong, they've never faced each other before, right?
No, they haven't. They have not.
So this was their first. Kushida is a former is a Japanese legend, former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Tommaso Ciampa is also a legend in NXT. And I want to see this feud go places and go further. Sana, we get a more definitive finish to this match because I felt like it was really good. Also, another honorable mention, since we do that now apparently, is on this week's Dark. It's Evil Uno versus The Blade versus Frankie Kazarian versus Jungle Boy in a Fatal 4-Way match. And it's just interesting because these guys are normally tag team contenders, right, doing a Fatal 4-Way singles match. It's a nice change of pace. It's a nice showcase of styles since you don't really get to see that much of them on Dynamite or any AEW product. So it's a great change of pace for you. So that go check that out.
So yes, it's my honorable mention kayo dalawa ako rin, may HM din. My honorable mention is John Moxley versus the Dirty Daddy Chris Dickerson over at GCW Bloodsport. So I got to catch that kanina while I was having lunch, and I enjoyed it. First time kong manood ng Bloodsport, and it's refreshing to see John Moxley back in the indies. And I didn't like the sounds at all, but I was there for the wrestling, and I love the different presentation, the rules, the format. Sobrang enjoy siya, and nagulit na lang, uy, tapos na. So it also helped that the show was pretty short and that the matches were pretty short as well. And I went through the card, and there are a lot of names that I really recognize. Like the British Bulldog's son is there, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Simon Grimm, Killer Kelly, Allison Kay, Layla Hirsch, who I saw at Stardom nung February. So it's a pretty good card, actually. It's there. My actual pick, though, goes to Flash Morgan Webster versus A-Kid in the NXT UK Heritage Cup tournament. So I'm really enjoying in British Rules matches. And this one was actually shorter than last week's match between Noam Dar and Alexander Wolfe. So this one was really, really exciting kasi they were able to incorporate yung pagka-high-flying ni Flash Morgan Webster and to make it mean something given yung time limits in each round. So that's what I really loved about yung match na to. Plus, A-Kid is actually really good.
Yeah, he is. Very much so.
Admin Angel is asking, ano yung G1 finals predictions natin?
Okay, I don't want to predict it kasi I just want to be surprised at this point. I don't know if the brackets have been busted, but it's not anything that I expect. I still want Sanada to be in there somewhere. Maybe Kota Ibushi, or I don't want Jay White, but I feel like Jay White's going to be in there. So there's that. That's all I want to say about it.
Chino, la? No?
Day 4 pa lang ako eh. So you guys, I got so many more days to watch. You guys, it's too early to tell. But again, I have my favorite. I'd say Sanada. He's a favorite, right? So I'll put him in there. Nung nanalo si Toriano, parang nabasag yung utak ko eh. So I really can't tell.
All right. I am not entitled to predictions because I have not caught up with G1 this year. There's that. All right. On that note, we have to end this episode of the podcast. Please continue to use our Lazada affiliate link, by the way, for your shopping. Kahit na tapos na yung 10-10, you can still use our link to go to the site or the app. So the link is tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada. Again, that is tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada for all of your Lazada shopping needs. Every successful purchase that gets checked out and delivered to your doorstep, may small commission kami doon, which helps keep the lights on sa PNA and on the podcast. And before we get out of here, Ro?
Sorry, any plugs? You're yep. Kind of breaking up. I just wanted to plug my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/shang_daddy. Maybe later I will be playing Left 4 Dead 2 with the crew.
Nice.
And always, always please read smarkhenry.com.
All right. Gino. I am plugging my podcast, my own little project called Class Clown, where this week I talked to a ghost hunter / tarot card reader and a faith healer.
Spiritista,
exactly. And we talked about all the things that go bump in the night. Natutulog na ako ngayon na may ilaw, guys. Didn't do that last time I did that. I was 13 years old. So now I get to do that again. A lot of fun. It's a great episode, especially if you're just after learning about these things and not necessarily getting scared. So yes, if you don't hear from me, you know what happens. But for the meantime, look out for that episode. Also, I'm kicking my whole next three episodes are going to be dedicated to Halloween.
Nice.
My next episode is going to feature a prosthetics makeup artist who's going to give us tips on how to dress up for Halloween. She does really good Halloween costume work. Also, we're going to do an episode about sneakers kasi nakakatakot yung mga presyo ng ibang sneakers talaga, guys.
Guess mo si Kabayan, please. So, Kabayan.
Yeah, it's like it's ridiculous. So we'll do all of that on Class Clown. Just look for it on Spotify. Type out Chino Liao.
All right. On my end, just plugging my podcast On Deck. Angela G, my co-DJ at Wave 89.1, is the guest for the week. Last week's guest, though, si Nicole Hiala, talked about the podcast this morning on Love Radio. So nagulat ako. Tapos naturally, dahil ako yung pinag-usapan nila, they were talking about Thai. Like, they were literally discussing whether or not they could say the word Thai on air, which really cracked me up. Shout out to my friend Harwin, who actually caught it and took a video. I'll post that mame sa IG stories ko. So that made my day. As for us though, we gotta get out of here and say thank you to everybody who has stuck around every week on the podcast. Don't forget to check out the Thunder Rosa episode if you haven't checked that one out yet. It's already available on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. You can keep the conversation going even when we're not streaming. Just hit us up at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter or individually at Roiswar, at Chino Supersized, or at underscore Stan C. And on Kumu, follow nyo na kami at Wrestling Pod. Okay, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Wrestling Podcast. Catch us next week on the next stream and on the next interview episode. Until then, my name is Stan C. He's Ro Moran. He's Chino Liao. Shout out to Babyface producer Nikai Lucanias. We're out of here. Thank you. Peace out.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.